Welcome to Chattering Classes. It's our 1999 season, 20th anniversary of the quote-unquote best movie year ever. And I'm joined by one of the old-timers here, Mr. Ben Wiggins. How are you, Wiggo?
I'm very well, thank you, Matthew. Thank you for having me yet again.
Yeah, I don't know. This might be number six for you.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, pushing up to Bill Russell territory.
Well, you know, he is one of my favourites. I would like to have him at the dinner table at Pizza Hut.
Jesus, we are losing people left, right, and centre. All right. Now, we're looking at 1999. What the hell were you doing in 1999?
I was living with you in Newcastle.
Yeah.
And I was working at the Glendale Movie Cinemas.
Yes.
And working, one of the stranger work experiences of my, one of the weirder jobs that I've had.
Really? Working there. What made it so weird?
Well, I got the job through a mutual friend of ours, Jamie.
Yeah.
And she'd been working there for a while, and it was, they just seemed to have, like, I feel like I've got a fairly decent work ethic, even back then when we were a bit loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
But it was just an odd place to work.
So what springs to mind are the, I don't know, several occasions where me, you and Jamie would get on it on a Saturday night, maybe till, God knows, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And then she would go to work at 7.
Yep.
And just sleep in the cinemas.
Yes. So, and then, like, I would get shifts. I'd get random shifts, like, once every 2 weeks. And then I remember one of my burnt-in memories of there is actually showing up to a shift one day and them going, well, you're not supposed to be here. And I walked over to the roster and I pointed out and I went, look, it's got my name. Like, it's got my name written next to that time. And they went, oh, sorry, that was actually for the person above you on the roster. You're not actually supposed to be here, but now that you're here, you may as well work. And I'm like, oh, okay, no worries. So I stood around for 4 hours and got paid for it.
So did the other person show up as well?
Oh, yeah. We were both there doing the same thing.
Just hanging around, getting paid for 4 hours.
Just hanging around.
So what did it actually mean to work in the cinema? I don't think I've ever asked you about it. I was just like... Every now and then, I would get a phone call from you that said, hey, you come to the movies? And I'd go, okay. And then we'd go to the movies for free. That was a good time.
Exactly. It was very... That was the greatest thing about working at a cinema was that the popcorn and the movies were basically... It was like 50 cents.
Yeah.
That was it. It was odd. You know, it was just I never got to work behind the counter. I was always taking tickets or I was cleaning cinemas.
Right.
And I'd go in, I'd have a little flashlight. I'd go in, make sure that people weren't, fornicating in the cinemas if there was very little else happening, if there weren't anyone else in the cinemas. Or I'd go in and if there was a particular movie that I was interested in, I would... basically watch it in 3 sittings.
Right.
So you'd go in and, oh, okay, well, obviously I've just set everyone in here. Okay, the movie's about to start. I go and watch the first 40 minutes while someone else is outside. Right. All right. Then I'll go and watch the next 40 minutes of that particular movie.
Yeah.
And then you'd end up, you know, you'd watch a movie a night, basically.
Was there any particular movie that you watched several times? Can you remember? Is there any that stick in your mind that you happen to stick around for more than others?
Well, look, there were the two memories that I have of watching movies at that particular cinema, one of which we're going to speak of this evening, and the other was the Star Wars movie that we went to. We went to the pre-midnight screening.
That's right. I think we might have gone over this before, but yes, you worked at the cinema. Yep. Phantom Menace was coming out. There were people yes. however many weeks in advance. Weeks, or am I exaggerating? Was it days in advance?
No. Weeks. Weeks in advance had pre-bought tickets to go to the midnight screening of The Phantom Menace. Yeah,
and had waited outside for, I don't know, like hours. Turned up hours in advance. Had done all that.
There was a few dress-ups.
Yep, a few dress-ups.
This is at Glendale in Newcastle. Like, just such a random spot.
Yeah, it was a random spot, wasn't it? And I remember I was at home, and then you rang me, as you often did, and you were like, hey, we've got a pre-midnight screening just for staff. Yep. Do you want to come and watch The Phantom Menace? And I was like, okay. And so off we went.
Off we went. Now, just for those playing along at home, at this particular time, I enjoyed having a bit of a smoke. And
so basically, this every story we're going to tell you about going to the movies, you have to imagine that we were under the influence.
All right. Yep. So I'll stop saying that.
Because,
but basically, yeah. So we walked into Star Wars: The Phantom Menace. And I was very excited. I was like, it was a big thing at that time. Like, you know, we hadn't really heard much about it. I'd read a bit in sort of Empire magazine, and walked in, sat down. Up comes the music, and it was like, wow, this is phenomenal. Yep. And then the text starts rolling across the screen. And I was lost. Like, after the first four lines, I was like, I do not know what's going on. I cannot follow this script. What in the world is happening here? And I was gone for the 2.5 hours that it went for. I said, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, I remember coming out and going, you were like, I didn't understand any of it. Jamie slept through all of it. And I think at one point I turned to you and said, if this fucking thing is in the movie the whole time, I might hate this movie, which was just so bizarre.
Oh, it was, yeah.
And it's nice to know, like, that, you know, like, everyone hangs shit on Jar Jar Binks.
Yep.
But that is real. That's not like everyone just hated him because it was cool to hate him. We were the...
There's no irony.
We were one of the first...
Everyone just fucking hated him.
Right. Yeah, there's no hipster coolness about hating him. We were one of the first people in Australia to see that movie, and I hated that fucking thing from the minute he showed up. And I do... Oh, it's horrifying. Like, this is a Star Wars movie. I'm never going to watch this again.
No. And it's fucking terrible. Like, yeah, it's just terrible. Absolutely terrible. And... To prove that point again, like, what, 10, how old were we? Like 19, 20. Yeah, so like 15 years later, I sat down with two of my kids and thought, you know what, I'm going to start them at the beginning.
Yeah.
20 minutes in, they were like, I'm not interested in this at all. So I was like, well, that proves a point.
Yep.
That Phantom Menace was a fucking problem. But the other movie that we went and saw was exactly the opposite experience to that.
Yes.
The polar opposite.
Yeah, you're going to have to narrow it down because we saw a lot of movies. And you're talking about Austin Powers, The Spy Who Shagged Me.
Well, that... was...
I reckon you watched that about 80 times in the cinema, didn't you? Was that one you stuck your head in to see?
That is absolutely true. I think that was... like, just some of that... it was magic. It was so good. You could basically stick your head in at any time and go, oh yeah, I'll watch this
just
5 minutes.
Just watch this bit.
Yep. Because I would sing that. Like, you'd go in, you'd hear that bit, and then you'd come out and you'd spend the rest of the night just going...
Just the arrival of Mini-Me. What just fantastic. No, you're going to have to narrow it down because I don't know what movie you're talking about because I just remembered another one we saw at the cinema that I don't think we mentioned before we recorded. And that was South Park, Bigger, Longer, and Uncut. And that was the same year. That's why this... 1999 is the best movie ever.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's... So, That was awesome.
Yeah. But remember, like, remember we went in and there was a mum sitting in front of us with like her 8-year-old kid.
Yes.
And we actually,
I think we all,
and we said,
I don't know.
We actually said, like, this isn't, like, I don't know if he should be here. And she was like, no, he watches it at home. It's fine. And then 20 seconds in, they're seeing Uncle Fucker. And you're like, well, all right, you're sticking with it.
There's only so much we can do here.
Yeah. And that's before, like, Saddam Hussein's having sex with Satan. Like, yeah, that movie was like, all right, let's see how far we can push this here.
Oh, dear. But one, like, if Phantom Menace is the zero on the enjoyment scale,
yes,
of going to the movies,
yeah,
then The Matrix that same year,
yeah,
was a 10. Like, if I could rate it any, like, that's the scale, obviously, so 10 is the highest, but if I could give it like a 14, I probably would.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few movies, movie-going experiences which were the best, and that is in my top five movie-going experiences for my entire life, which was just,
yep,
from start to finish, even walking into the cinema again.
Oh, we were so pumped. Like, we had no idea what was going on.
And we're like, we've heard nothing. This movie is incredible. Let's go. We're under the influence, of course. Let's see this.
But isn't that the bizarre thing, though, right? Like, I completely lost track of some fucking, like, I'm literate. So, and I lost track of, like, words that were scrolling across a screen because they actually made no sense.
Right.
And yet The Matrix made perfect sense to me,
yeah,
that entire time. Like, that two and a half hours or whatever it,
yeah,
was, I was locked in and it was,
yeah,
it was like I was had the freaking thing stabbed in the back of my head.
Now, had we seen, and it was a long, long time ago, had they, like, done a teaser trailer of the first scene, like the first bullet time? Because I don't know if I knew that was coming, that first time where you see Trinity and then the camera does your 360 camera where it spins.
Yeah.
I think I'd already seen that in like a teaser thing.
I feel like that might have been in, I don't know, but where, this is what I find odd, right? Like, where would we have seen the trailer for that? Like, were we watching, you know, was it something that we saw on telly?
Yeah.
It would have had to have,
yeah,
been. Because my only memory of the internet at that stage is going to Beej's house,
yeah,
and him logging on to his Tab,
right, like, account,
the Tab,
yeah,
website, so that he could then make a phone call,
yeah,
and put a bet on.
But
like, and it was just like the internet was,
the internet was
like
all
a
text
thing,
right? It was,
yeah,
a lot more text. I'm sure there were videos. I don't remember any of that, but and it must have been on TV. But I think they'd done like the Matrix special, like 30-minute thing before the movie,
yes,
had come out. So there was a few things that we knew. There was like, this is how they filmed it, because it was made in Sydney. A lot of it's filmed in Sydney,
of course.
So I think it had that. So we had no idea what the movie was actually about. We knew it was an action film. We knew Keanu Reeves was in it,
and there was some sick shit gonna happen.
Some sick shit was gonna happen. We turn up. We're pretty much off our faces, and we just walk in, we sit down, and then it starts, and we're just strapped in. Now, you said, I watched this movie, and I understood, like, for 2.5 hours, I was locked in. There is a 5-minute period of that movie I remember distinctly having no idea what was going on, right? And it's, again, the exact opposite of The Phantom Menace, where you're like, I don't know what's going on because my ass is asleep. Because this is,
yep,
so dry and,
yep,
lots of talking. But the scene, as soon as he takes the pill,
yep,
and fucking silver starts pouring out of him. And then the camera, yep, goes down into his mouth. And then he wakes up in a pod. And then,
yeah,
like, that is imagining, like, there are twist endings. There are all kinds of shocks in movies, but I don't remember a sequence where I was just like, oh my God, what is happening? Someone tell me quick. And that's the beauty of that movie, is they do that for an extended period. It's not like, oh, this is what's happening now, this is what's happening now. You have an extended period where you're like, he now is in a pod and there's tubes all around him and he's covered in goo. And now he's sucked out of that, and then a ship picks him up.
And now he's in a fucking submarine kind of thing, or a spaceship.
And then you're Neo, right? Then you have to be him, because he's just like, what the fuck's going on? And you know, remember what happens in the movie when they try and tell him what happens? He like pukes. It's too much for him. Like, yep. Where was my puke? I don't know. Yeah. Like, it's just...
And see, the funny thing is, there are certain... Like, you know, you have touch points in movies that sort of burn a memory into your brain.
Yeah.
And a couple of touch points in there for me are when he first... Yeah, Freddy Cat Williams, when he first climbs out the window.
Oh, right, yeah, you don't like the heights office, at all.
And I'm like, oh, fuck it, that's gross. But then when they're doing the Kung Fu.
Yeah.
That fucking Kung Fu scene is just like, hang on a second, is it like, is this real? Like, maybe a little bit real? Can someone download Kung Fu into my head? That would be sick. Like, there was just some weird... Just those little weird things that just burn themselves into your brain.
Yeah. Where you're like, and, oh, you know, like, oh, maybe we're all living in the Matrix. Well, that's a big idea, but could someone, if I was in the Matrix, could someone just download Kung Fu into my head? That'd be pretty cool. I'm quite happy if that could happen.
Yeah, I'm happy to learn how to fly a helicopter in, like, you know, 4 seconds. Yeah. That's sweet.
Yeah. Travel by phone or whatever actually happens when you pick up a phone and not get hit by a truck. It's
it had
so much, like, you know, like, it has just energy constantly. It's always moving, always never quite sure what's happening. Everyone's Agent Smith. When you come out of the cinema, everyone's Agent Smith.
Yeah. Well, that was just our paranoia playing.
That was about 2.5 hours later, so it's about right. Yes, everyone is Hugo Weaving. That's just as simple as possible.
But that was without a shadow of a doubt. Like, I would say that when people are talking about going to the movies, that was the movie for me. That was my favourite movie going experience.
Yeah.
Other than that, I remember seeing Austin Powers with you.
Yeah.
I remember going and seeing Chasing Amy by myself.
Right.
I remember going and seeing DuckTales with person that shall not be named.
Okay.
When I was 17.
Yeah. How did that rank on your 0 to 10 scale?
Look, I don't think I can actually rate the movie because I don't remember actually... Gotcha. Watching the movie.
Yeah, we'll draw a discreet veil over that, shall we?
Yeah, let's.
DuckTales, far out. Who else is in that audience? Did you think about them?
The mum with a kid from South Park.
Yeah, she was like, my kid can watch South Park because we were at DuckTales last week and you should have seen what was happening there.
Oh, dear. And that, like, I remember seeing Benji the Hunter.
Well, are we just going through all of the movies you ever saw? Or when did Benji the Hunter come out?
Like, ages. Like, that was like when I was... That was probably the first or second movie I ever saw at the movies. Right. But I don't remember... Like, there's not a lot of movies that I remember going to the movies to see.
Right.
But The Matrix and Star Wars... Yeah. Phantom Menace are two that are...
You know, they're two, like, they're very memorable experiences, weren't they?
Absolutely, and two complete... Like, that just, you know, the scale has been made from those two movies.
Star Wars to Matrix scale. But do you remember coming out of the Star Wars, out of the Phantom Menace, and walking past all the people who had waited weeks to buy tickets, waited in line, turned up early in costume, and then... coming out and they were like, how was it? And we're like, It's not great.
It's pretty fucking ordinary.
And I don't know what they thought. I don't know if they were like, whatever.
Yeah.
Right. Really? They might. Some of them must have been like, oh, okay. Going in like, oh, it's weeks of my life wasted. Or did they try and convince themselves? No. This is worth it. I'm having a good time.
I'm sure they're still on Reddit.
Yeah, they're still talking about why it's actually the just best still Star Wars talking movie. About
that.
Yeah, so dry. All right, now, here's my question before we move on to the next film that we want to talk about. My next question is, was 1999 just the best year ever? Not the best year for film.
But just the best year.
Yeah, because these are three things we like to do. Number one.
Okay. Can I guess? Yeah. Can I guess? Yeah. All right. So 1999.
Yeah.
Awesome film watching.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, one of the best years for films. Yeah.
We loved watching movies. The Australia's sporting excellence came to the fore in 1999.
Correct.
I can't even think of the third thing.
The third thing is a seemingly unlimited supply of 21st birthday parties.
Good. Yeah, excellent.
So, in 1999, not only was it, you know, the best year for movies, as Wigo said, the best year for Australian sport. You can look it up. Like Australian Sporting Achievements 1999. It's unbelievable. We're world champions in netball, cricket,
union,
baseball.
We won the Davis Cup.
Yeah, Davis Cup.
We won. That was incredible.
Yeah, we just kept winning. We love sport. We didn't have, you know, full time jobs that stopped us from watching said World Cups till 4 o'clock in the morning. And like I said, a seemingly unlimited supply of 21st birthday parties from the start of the year to the end of the year. And certainly in that period between like September to Christmas, there's like one every week. It's just
far out.
Continuous.
Maybe that's why I couldn't remember it.
The excellence of 1999 of just, hey, Wigo and Matt, what do you like? Movies? Do you like sport? That's how it should have been sold to us at the start of 99.
Do you like birthday parties?
Hey, this year's going to be all right. Don't worry about it. Now, what was happening socially? I don't know. What was happening in world events? I can't really tell you about 1999.
Yeah.
I just know we won a lot of sport and we watched a lot of movies and we drank a lot. Yeah, it's a good year.
It was actually a pretty good year for PlayStation releases.
Releases, yes.
Yeah, so, bit of Tony Hawk, bit of Driver. Good albums that year too.
Say that again.
Good albums.
Yes.
Definitely some good music.
Yeah. Yeah, it all tied in nicely. Driver. Yeah. Jesus. Driver was a game where you had to be a driver for the mob and get from one side of town to the other side of town without the police getting you. And we could never, ever do the final challenge.
Exactly.
Drive the president to a safe space. Why were we driving the president? I don't understand.
I don't know. They flipped it. They flipped it.
Police is trying to get you. Everyone's trying to. Oh, it was great. And then, we never finished that. But anyway, that's a complete. Oh, FIFA, of course.
Oh.
FIFA 99.
Oh, have we digressed?
Yeah. Just started talking about, how good was playing driver. Everyone would be loving that. Okay. Now, moving on. We're moving on at quite a clip. Because the movie we're going to talk about now is a movie we need to talk about because it has, as you said, one of the best scenes. Probably, how would you describe, maybe the best 5 seconds of a movie?
So it encapsulates, again, two very random things.
That's right, yes.
That are brought together.
That's right. This is exactly right. I never even thought about this.
Yeah, that have been brought together into one of the most amazing 5 seconds of film ever. ever put down on film.
So we're talking about Wes Anderson's second film, Rushmore, which is the first Wes Anderson movie I'd seen. I don't know how we came across it, probably at the video shop, or someone was like, here, watch this. We watched it. We're like, hey, Bill Murray's in this. We like Bill Murray from...
Remember Bill Murray from such movies as Caddyshack and Ghostbusters and Stripes?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. They're the ones we always watched. Remember Groundhog Day? Oh, it's all right. It gets better the more and more you watch it. But yeah, we hadn't really seen much of Bill Murray in the 90s. Mm. And then here he is in this very unusual, finicky...
strange, just a... yeah, a little bit... just an odd...
odd. Oh, very odd. Jason Schwartzman, odd. I think it's his first movie. Just being unbelievable as Max.
And greasy.
Greasy. So greasy. In love with a teacher. Got no idea. Can't read a situation to save his life. at all. But is an overachiever that doesn't achieve anything. And yeah, and then you've got Bill Murray, whose two children suck. He hates his kids. And he's like, hey, this guy Max is a lot like me. I'm going to give him a prize and be his mentor. So... can you explain the scene that you're talking about? I don't think we're not going to be able to do it justice. You can probably just go online.
No.
Bill Murray, Rushmore, basketball.
Yeah, just do that. Do that. But basically, it is Bill Murray. He's on a phone, isn't he?
Yeah, he's on the phone.
So he's on the phone and he's holding a conversation with someone and he is walking through a pickup basketball game that some young kids are playing.
Yeah, how old? Like 12? Not old.
Oh, yeah. Like, not even... like, maybe not even that old. Yeah. And he just walks directly under the basket and this kid goes to shoot and Bill Murray just basically stops his phone conversation and just blocks the shit out of this kid's shot and then just carries on like nothing had happened.
He swats it out of court. Just belts it.
Goes, it's like you've got to go over a fence and down the street to catch the ball. It may have ended up in a fucking stormwater drain. Who knows? But it was just... I think we watched that particular scene maybe 50 times.
Yeah, I remember that. It's a rare time of that burst of laughter, that shocked laughter. Of like, where did that come from? That was amazing. And being able to rewind it and just watching it again and watching it
where
again.
Where is the gif of Why that? Did he Where do... is the gif of that? Why is that not a gif?
Yeah, that's true. Like, it's got to be somewhere. Why did he do that? What an asshole! Look at these horrible asshole people in this movie. Yeah, it's a great film. But yes, that was the... We'll call that the scene of the year, according to you. We go...
I'd be happy to award that scene of the year.
Right, in the last episode I did with Nick and Duncan, we talked about Being John Malkovich. I've already talked about that with you, maybe in the second episode of the Chattering Classes many, many years ago.
That was another movie we saw that year.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad year. Yeah.
Look, I've heard some, you know, I've heard some thoughts in regards to Being John Malkovich, and I would rate that in my top 10 movies.
Yeah.
Easily, it is, again, just one of those things that it's just magnificent.
What,
it was such a strange movie. Yeah.
What are the thoughts? It's amazing. What are the thoughts that you've heard?
That it was all a bit...
Who's been saying things? We're going to... I want names.
Well, having listened to some of the Ringer stuff, right. they haven't done Malkovich as a rewatchable.
No.
And didn't do it as part of their 1999 the special series.
Yeah, but they did Luminary. They did have a quick chat about it.
And I think a couple of them were like, nah,
too weird.
It was okay.
You know what,
it was too
do you
weird.
Know what Bill Simmons said? He said this exact phrase. It was too weird for me. It was liked by the people at uni I hated. And they're like, who are the people you hate at uni? It's like, you know, English majors. And I was like, hey, screw you, Bill.
But I wasn't an English major.
Yeah.
And I just enjoyed the fact that it was just so odd.
Yeah.
That, like, who, at what stage does John Malkovich read that script and go, you know what? That's a fucking great idea.
No, it's no one's really. I mean, there are interviews where he talks about it, but no one's really done the oral history of that movie of like, all right, John, here's a movie. It's called Being You.
Yeah.
People crawling your head. Why? Don't worry. Don't worry about it.
Behind a filing cabinet.
Yeah. Yeah.
In an office building where the room where the portal into your brain is in. Basically, it's a half.
Yeah, where the
it's a half room
where,
or half
where the floor is. Yeah, half because the owner of the building fell in love with a little person, was so moved by her story of plight that he married her, and built a half a floor so she would feel comfortable in it. That's it. All in the first 10 minutes of the movie.
Hang on a second. Just I'm just thinking. John, opportunities. Like, right, hang on a second. Someone climbs into my brain. Is that what you're? Let's just go back to that first.
I've got a lot of questions. I have a lot of questions. First, what are you talking about? How did you get in here?
Exactly. But they're like again, like things that are burned into your brain from certain movies, like John, that whoever sped up John Cusack's fingers. Doing the filing.
Right. Huh.
That's burned into my brain.
That is very interesting. That is a very specific image. I know exactly what you mean. Wow. Yes. So they speed up his fingers because he's a puppeteer. He's got very good dexterity.
Yeah.
Where he goes in the interview and she says, which of these letters comes first? And he's like, that one's not a letter. And he's like, oh, you're good. Anyway, we'll just keep quoting and talk about that. Okay, the last movie we're going to talk about is American Pie.
Oh.
Might be tough to sit down with your friends, with your children, and watch that one in the future.
Very true. Things I remember about American Pie. Boobs.
Yeah.
Cracking boobs. And Eugene Levy made me laugh and continues to make me laugh to this day.
Yeah, and I was a big fan because he was in all the Christopher Guest, Waiting for Guffman.
Yeah.
I think had come out before and I think Best in Show came out after it. But I was well in on him, and to see him in that, I was like, oh my God, just hilarious.
Now, just bear with me here because it's been a long couple of weeks for me and I'm not... my brain isn't necessarily firing on all cylinders, but was he in Splash?
Eugene Levy?
Yeah.
What a great question. Hang on. I don't know off the top of my head.
Can that be the title of the podcast,
please? Let me have a look. while I'm looking that up, I just wanted to say, like, I like... did you watch Russian Doll, Wigger?
Yes, I did.
So I watched that and I was like, oh, that girl, that woman, I like her. What else has she been in? And then I was like going through a list. Oh, right.
She was the
good actor in American Pie.
Yes.
She's the one where you're like, oh, most of these people aren't very good at acting. This person seems to know what they're doing. Even then, let me see. Eugene Levy was in Splash.
Yes!
Playing Walter Kornbluth, of course.
Was fucking Tom Hanks's mate.
Right.
Was he his mate? Or was he the guy that... Anyway, it doesn't matter. He was in Splash.
He was in Splash, and he was also in one of my favourite comedies from the 80s called Armed and Dangerous with John Candy and Meg Ryan.
John Candy?
Now,
yes.
And when I say favourite, I mean in 1986, I watched it a lot. And post-1986 has been watched... zero times by me, but I remember enjoying the banter between John Candy and Eugene Levy, and I believe they were friends anyway, both Canadian.
Yeah.
And so yeah. Anyway, so how did we?
Who now, would have if, thought this?
If anyone, into if a, anyone had written down movies that they're going to talk about in their betting, and they had Splash and Armed and Dangerous, then congratulations to you.
Sportsbet will be playing you out post haste.
So what else? Like, I don't think we saw this at the cinema. I think our good old friend Elge, her dad, might have been working for Village at the time. Again, this is what happened in this year of we like movies, you're working at the cinema, Elge's dad's working for Village Roadshow, and he's like, hey, you want to... screener before the movie has come out in the cinema, here you go.
Yes, please.
And so I think we watched that. I was like, this movie's pretty funny.
That's pretty good.
Jason Biggs hasn't really...
It's a weird... Just an odd dude.
Hasn't done anything. He's done a few things.
But Stifler... Like, Stifler wins the movie.
Yeah? Oh, Stifler just destroys.
And it is...
He's still Stifler, I'm afraid. And his mum's still Stifler's mum. Yeah. Even though she's in all the...
Well, she and Eugene Levy are basically tied at the hip from then on, aren't they? Yeah.
God, she's great. Jennifer Coolidge is just so funny.
Yeah.
How does that movie hold up today, though? We go American Pie. Can you get away with, I'm going to film a girl undressing in my bedroom. Then, of course, she's going to find some porn mags while she's undressing. Mm-hmm. He's going to masturbate. And I've got it on webcam. And then that link is shared to other people somehow. Again, 1999. Not quite sure.
Who knows? Does anyone even know how that works at all these days?
And yeah, would that work? People go, yeah, that's okay. You can put that in a movie.
It's a completely different movie. Yeah. It's a horror movie or some sort of thriller or some sort of...
Yeah, you're being watched.
Yeah, like it'd have to have a Baldwin in it.
Billy Baldwin.
Yeah, one of the lesser known Baldwins. Groucho Baldwin.
One of the lesser known ones would be Zeppo, I believe you're thinking of. Zeppo Baldwin. Groucho's got quite the career in vaudeville, indeed. But anyway.
But still. My apologies to all the Baldwins.
You don't want to get Alex.
Even the lesser known ones. You. Oh dear. It's just not going to work. Like it's very much like it falls into the American Beauty silo.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay. Busted out of silo.
Of shit we just can't watch or talk about anymore. Really.
Yeah, but you know, I think in the next episode I'm going to have a chat to Justine about American Beauty because she was one of the few people. At the time when she saw it in the cinema, that was just like, what the fuck is this movie? Why is everyone laughing at this old man creeping out on this 16-year-old girl and he's about to like have sex with her? That's not cool. She was like, everyone was laughing. Oh, that Lester. He gets up to all sorts, doesn't he? We're on his side no matter what he does. Yeah, that movie has a few problems, obviously.
Oh, it does have a few problems. And I enjoyed that movie when I first saw it.
Yeah.
Like, I did enjoy that movie, but I think I enjoyed and I suppose enjoy is probably that's an odd way to describe it. I thought it was a good movie the first time I watched it, and I liked the story with the daughter and the kid next door.
Yeah, the freaky dude, yeah.
The freaky dude next door. I thought that's sort of what kept me in the movie. Yeah.
I think it has even watching it, I was like, oh, this has issues with the writing. Some of the, it's very beautifully acted, but some of the writing, I was like, okay. Oh, the father who hates gay people and doesn't want anyone to be gay. Oh, he's got gay tendencies.
It's a bit gay.
That's a twist. Didn't see that coming. Oh, right. Everyone who hates gay people must secretly be gay. That's like a... I don't know. I probably wrote a story like that in, like, first year uni, thinking, yeah, this is it. I'm digging down here.
Look at this.
Digging down deep. All right. The last movie I just want to talk about very quickly before we go is Magnolia.
Okay. I've seen Magnolia once.
Right.
I still don't know how I feel about it.
Oh, that's a good answer.
It was... Because I had heard... Like, I'd heard so much about it.
Hmm.
And I didn't watch it in 1999. I remember watching it... Like, a few years afterwards.
Yeah.
And...
Had we seen Boogie... Did we watch Boogie Nights? I don't know if...
Yeah, I'm pretty sure...
I don't know if I'd seen that... which seems to be right up our alley. Order. But I don't think we watched it when it came out. And certainly not. Certainly, Magnolia was the same. So you watched it a few years later.
Yep. And was just... Even now when I think about it, it's sort of like... It didn't leave a mark on me.
Right.
Like, it wasn't something where I kind of went... Like, I remember Tom Cruise being, you know, a bit over the top.
Yeah.
And... And a couple of the other scenes and the frogs and that was about it. You know, like that's how it felt to me. That's how Magnolia felt to me. It was like, oh, Tom Cruise, frogs, other stuff. Like emotional stuff. Yeah. Julianne Moore and now was it Philip Seymour Hoffman or was it poor man's Philip Seymour?
No, Philip Seymour Hoffman was in it.
Yeah.
Philip Baker Hall was in it.
All the Phillips? Mm,
lots of three barrel triple barrel Phillips.
Triple barrels. Yeah. The it didn't like Magnolia. It's been spoken about a lot, but it left no indelible mark on me at all.
Right. Unlike Splash.
Yeah. Well, unlike Eugene Levy in Splash.
Righto.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we might leave it there.
What did you think about Magnolia?
Oh, you don't want to hear what I have to say about it. I think it's a masterpiece. I think the first time I watched it, I was like, huh? Okay. That was weird. Like you said, Tom Cruise, frogs and stuff happened. And then I think it was one of the many movies that when I started going out with Justine, she was like, what do you think about this movie? It's like Magnolia, Royal Tenenbaums. And where I went, I didn't mind them, but you know, and she was like, oh, let's watch it again. And then I watched it again and I was like, huh, that was pretty good. I want to watch that again.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many times I've seen it. It's a pretty tough slog, but
it's a big movie.
It's a very heavy movie. Big. It's got a lot of weight to it. There's a lot of sadness in it. Everyone's sad. Nearly everyone has a dream and they're nearly there, but they're not ever going to reach it. Yep. Some of them, for some people, that was like 30 years ago in their lives. Some people, it's just, I don't know, Paul Thomas Anderson working out some shit, obviously. But like Jason Robards says at the end, like, that's the goddamn regret. And you're like, huh, I don't want to really think about that. As a 21-year-old, I don't want to think about what...
Maybe that's what got me. Maybe that was the thing, you know? Like maybe I just went, I'm just going to compartmentalize that into a point in my brain where I don't have to think about it.
Because you know why? I think for us, I can't speak for other 21-year-olds, I think we had quite a few friends, Beach being certainly one of them, who used to always talk about this idea of having no regrets, right? Have no regrets. Live your life, no regrets. Which I think is a pretty stupid way to live. Because you should regret some things. How else do you not do that shit again?
Well, and also how do you then not... Like, what do you learn? Like, when do you actually learn something?
Yeah. What if you fuck over other people because of your selfishness? Maybe it's good to regret some those things. So at 21, I was like, yeah, no regrets. That's a great idea. I want to live in a consequence-free environment. But then you watch Magnolia, and that's the point of the movie, right? Is that you may be through with the past, but the past is not through with you. That's one of the lines in the movie. And you're like, I don't want to watch that. Let's go to beaches and get drunk and then go and watch a movie and, play some sport.
Let's go watch Austin Powers.
Go watch Austin Powers and then go to the foreshore and play Ultimate Frisbee. That'd be good.
Oh, fuck yeah. Let's do that.
Yeah, and have good knees.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, the goddamn regret, Wiggins.
Yeah, that's right. My hips have got goddamn regret, that's for sure.
I should have stretched before those games.
Damn straight.
All right, thank you, my man. I don't know who this is for, as always. But it's always a pleasure.
Indeed.
Talk to you later.
Bye-bye.
That's it.